Rule number 5. When you're feeling bad, the worst thing you can do is inflict your bad mood on others. This stank more than my mom not letting me buy a cell phone with my own money. You don't know for sure that Mary Kay is going to try to ruin this field trip for you, Erica said. We were clustered around Lenny Sue's desk, working on our Honeypot Prairie group project that Mrs. Hunter had assigned us. We'd chosen Lenny's desk because it was the tidiest of anyone's in our group. She and those other girls could have gotten over what happened at Brittany's birthday party by now. With my luck, I shook my head. I felt like crying. I really did. I don't think so. Sophie patted me on the shoulder. Poor Allie. I don't get it, Elizabeth Pukowski, who was in our group, said. What's the big deal about sharing the bus with some girl from Allie's old school? Mary Kay Shiner isn't just some girl from Allie's old school, Sophie said. Then she went on to explain to her about the incident I'd had a few weeks earlier at a birthday party given by Brittany Hauser, who is basically the Cheyenne O'Malley of Walnut Nose Elementary, at which she and my ex-best friend, Mary Kay Shiner, and some other girls had tried to humiliate me and undermine my self-esteem, just because it had gotten around the fourth grade rumor mill that I had a boyfriend, which is definitely not true, and they were jealous. It had gotten so bad, Uncle Jay's girlfriend, Harmony, had to drive 1 hour each way to come rescue me. Never go to a birthday party given by the most popular girl in your old school just because her mother has rented a limo to take you there. It will not turn out well. Rule. Seriously? Elizabeth's eyes widened. That's bad. You think that's bad? Asked Patrick Day, who was also in our group. Check this out. He showed us an extremely large scab that had formed on his elbow. Road rash from riding my skateboard down the driveway. Way worse than anything that ever happened to Allie at some birthday party. Sophie, Elizabeth, and Erica let out polite screams. Patrick looked pleased with himself. Wanna smell it? He asked. Sophie said, if you don't keep wounds clean, they could become infected and then might become gangrenous and you could die. Erica, always the diplomat, decided to change the subject. What about that man? Erica asked. The one who was throwing rocks at our windows. Do you think he was Mrs. Hunter's boyfriend? Of course he was, Sophie said. You could tell he's completely in love with Mrs. Hunter, but she's spurned him. What's spurned? I asked. Told them to get lost, Sophie explained, because she doesn't feel about him the way he feels about her. That's why he was carrying a suitcase. She kicked him out. My eyes widened. I hadn't thought about the suitcase. Why had he been carrying a suitcase? I don't think she spurned him, I said. I think he was just an old friend, like she said, and he was visiting from somewhere else. And I think she just doesn't want him throwing rocks at our window. That's dangerous. Imagine if the window broke or if Mrs. Jenkins had seen him doing that. Mrs. Jenkins is the principal and Mrs. Hunter's boss. Mrs. Hunter could get in trouble, maybe even fired. It was really wrong of him to do that. I thought it was super romantic, Elizabeth said dreamily. I hope when I'm old, a guy will come do that to me where I work.
Can we please stop talking about these very boring things and get back to our report on being female in mid-19th century America?
Lenny Sue looked annoyed.
I would like to get a check plus on this project.
I agree, I said, relieved. I think we should stop talking about that man, especially since it was clear from his suitcase that he's going back to where he came from. He's probably never coming back. If he loves Mrs. Hunter as much as I think he does, Elizabeth said, he'll probably come back. But whatever. At least we get to go on a field trip, right? Even if it is to someplace boring. And we have to share a bus with some snobby girls. It's better than nothing, right?
Right,
Sophie agreed. She looked over at me to make sure I wasn't actually crying, which I wasn't yet. Although the truth was, every time I thought about having to go to Honeypot Prairie with Mary Kay Shiner of all people, I teared up a little. And Elizabeth wasn't helping with her. If he loves Mrs. Hunter as much as I think he does, he'll probably come back, remarks. Although don't even ask me why I cared so much about that. It might be okay, you guys, Erica said, trying to look on the bright side as usual. You heard what Mrs. Hunter said. They're going to teach us how to bake bread and how to shoe a horse. That means there'll be horses there. And you love horses, Allie. You can buy bread at the store, I pointed out. And you don't get to ride the horses. You just watch someone else put horseshoes on them. I didn't want to think about how Mary Kay had told me that at the Children's Museum, they'd gotten to play junior fashion stylists and makeup artists, designing Barbies for the next generation using a giant touchpad screen. That sounded way more fun than anything I'd heard so far about what Honey Pot Prairie had to offer. The rest of the time, we'll be crammed into a dinky one-room schoolhouse, learning about how bad things were in olden times. With Mary Kay Shiner and Brittany Hauser and Cheyenne O'Malley at the same time. Like we don't already know how bad things were in olden times, I went on. We practically live in olden times ourselves. At least those of us who don't have cell phones do. Yeah, Elizabeth said, shaking her head at me sympathetically. You do. That's when I realized she had a cell phone. Lenny Sue had one, too. I saw him tapping away at it beneath his desk, bored from all our girl talk. And even though the whole rest of the day, I tried hard to be like Erica and look on the bright side and not bring everyone down into the dumps with me. When you're feeling bad, the worst thing you can do is inflict your bad mood on others. All I could think about was how horrible my life was going lately. My friends kept assuring me that no matter what, they'd stick by me and not let Mary Kay and those other girls be mean to me on Friday. Still, I couldn't shake the feeling that my first field trip ever was going to be totally spoiled by a lot of mean girls from my past. I was still fuming about that and Mrs. Hunter's maybe boyfriend when I got home from school at the end of the day and saw a big red van parked in our driveway. A-plus roofers, it said in yellow on the side.
But that isn't what you said just 8 months ago,
my dad was saying to a man holding a clipboard who was standing in the hallway outside my brother Mark's bedroom.
When you inspected the roof before we bought this house, you said it was fine.
Well, the man said, scratching beneath his hard hat, that may have been true 8 months ago, but we've had a lot of snow and rain since then. You've got yourself an old house with an old roof with a lot of eaves and gables. If you want to fix the leaks and kill the dry rot going on inside your walls, you're going to have to replace a lot of shingles.
I wasn't sure, but this sounded like a rule to me.
Mom, Mark said, because he was standing right there between my mom and dad, can I go out onto the roof with Mr. Johnson to help replace the shingles?
No, Mom said.
Can I go inside the hole in the wall in Mark's closet? Kevin, who was standing next to Mark, asked.
No, Mom said.
Then can I wear your hard hat, Mr. Johnson?
Kevin asked, cocking his head to one side like Marvin when he wants a dog biscuit. When Mark and I had caught Kevin trying this lookout in front of the mirror, Kevin had told us it was his cute look, and that whenever he used it, people gave him whatever he wanted. We'd laughed at him for a long time over that one. Please?
Tell you what,
Mr. Johnson said, looking down at Kevin with a big smile on his craggy face.
If your parents accept my estimate and hire me to do the job, I'll bring you a hard hat of your very own.
Gee, Mr. Johnson, Kevin said. That'd be great.
I couldn't believe it. Kevin's cute look actually worked. It wasn't fair. Kevin always gets what he wants. Well, except velvet pants. But do I ever get what I want? No. After carefully sticking my permission slip under a magnet on the refrigerator door for my mom and dad to sign, I wasn't letting anything bad happen to this one, even if it was only to go to Honey Pot Prairie and not anywhere good. I went into my room and shut my door. Careful not to slam it, or I'd have gotten in trouble. No slamming doors is a rule in our house. What was even the point? I wondered with a sigh, going to stretch out on my bed.
Just like the children of the pioneers, I'd worked very hard, earning 36 whole dollars. And for what? My crops to be ruined by swarms of locusts? Now, my big chance to finally go on a field trip had come along, and my ex-best friend had to come back to haunt me. I swear, I sort of felt like the kid of an early settler. We learned in class that vacations were invented because this was when the children of the pioneers were needed on the farm to help their parents in the fields during planting time. In some states, Mrs. Hunter had told us, they've been thinking of getting rid of summer vacations because parents have a hard time finding childcare for their kids while they're at work during the summer months. No one is allowed to hire kids to work on farms anymore due to child labor laws. I couldn't believe the unfairness of this. No more summer breaks. That meant no more swimming, no more camp, no more lying around in the backyard daydreaming and looking for ants to help back to their anthill. Still, it must have been horrible in olden times to get out of school for vacation just to have to go work in a field. And the kids in those days couldn't even buy cell phones with the money they earned, if their parents even gave them an allowance, because cell phones hadn't been invented yet. Being the kid of an early settler stank. A lot like being Allie Finkel.